people don't know this about me. I actually tried out for American Idol a really long time ago. I waited in line forever, and I practiced forever, and I was psyched. I was pumped to do it. And if anybody does, like, any karaoke people in this room or singers, Ben, I know, you know you have a song, your song, that you could sing in your sleep backwards and forwards. You know all the words. And for me, that song is Patsy Cline's Crazy, which is what I was going to sing. And so I waited in this long line, and it's exhausting. And back then was the peak of American Idol fever. And at the last minute, I have no idea why, I decided to change it to, like, Christina Aguilera's Beautiful. And it went terribly. I hadn't practiced the breath control. I didn't know all the words. And I just bombed. And I'm telling you that story for two reasons. The first reason is that I changed my presentation last minute, which I know Kara's very favorite thing in the world. And then I realized that that wasn't going to work, so I changed it back. But the second reason is because I think it's really important, before we start about talking about employer branding and the audit and stuff like that, that you realize that it only works if you're real. It only works if you do the thing, if you focus on the things that are real about your company and that are real about working there. If you try and switch it up because you think some other song is working better for a different company, or it's more current, or it's more trendy, and it doesn't actually match your own company's brand, what is already there, you're gonna fail. So I wanted to let you guys know that. And clearly I didn't learn anything from my American Idol audition bomb, because I'm still trying to change things at the last minute. Okay, so I'm Marin. Also, I'm changing my hair at the last minute. Okay. So key to our business, I run this company called Red Branch Media. And part of what we do is we work with HR and recruitment technologies and services and help them market to their customers. A lot of you are here now. But another piece of our business is helping companies figure out what they can do to build their employer brands. And almost every single one of these engagements start the same way. So employer branding is basically selling a job the same way you'd sell an expensive product or service. And the only way to get into this mindset is to realize that now, especially more than ever, working for you is a choice, right? I think somebody earlier talked about that, right? They want to have meaningful work, and they want a paycheck, and they have more options now than they ever have before. We have, nobody gets that better than me. As Rayanne mentioned, I work in Omaha, Nebraska. We have very low unemployment and have for longer than the rest of the country. We have a highly educated workforce. We're competing with other agencies and, you know, big finance and tech companies that have better benefits packages than ours did, especially when we started, where it was mostly just free wine. it worked, though. So let's talk a little bit about why it's so important, even though you all wouldn't be here if you didn't think it was. 91% of the people that you're looking to hire believe employment brand plays a key role in their job decision. 69% of Americans wouldn't take a job with a company they think has a bad reputation. And an EB firm, Brand Mix, found 55% of companies linked an increase of traffic on their career site with a recent employer branding initiative. Sorry. My designers go a little crazy with the slides. There's 69 of them, so I gotta, you know, really keep going. Excuse me. So today's candidates, they don't just want sort of a 9-to-5, clock in, clock out. They want to know that you're the best place that they can be working, right? They want to know that if they find themselves getting ready to have a baby, that you're going to be flexible. They want to know that if they have a long commute, you might work something out with them. But employer branding, and I alluded to this in the beginning, it starts on the inside. Companies with high employee engagement have 37% less absenteeism than those with low engagement. So when your employment brand isn't reaching out to your current employees, right, when it doesn't include them, what's gonna stop them from saying, you know what, this place is right next to my kid's school, they're offering me a 3% pay bump, why don't I just go over here, right? So your brand really does have to start internally. You have to be really honest with yourself about whether or not the people that are working in your company are happy and being taken care of and engaged. You don't have to be Google or Amazon to have an amazing brand. Just having the strategy can drive huge dividends in the number and even the kind of people that you have working for your company. Even the smallest of efforts, when applied consistently, can really drive your brand forward. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes gets lost in these, because we hear from people like Jennifer who are managing these massive, huge brands for these really large companies in all these different locations, and it feels like, I don't know if I can do that. That sounds like a lot of work. It sounds like a lot of balls to have in the air, and it is. That's a lot. But if you apply small things consistently and you have a structured plan in front of you, I guarantee that you can see some of those same results. So even within the same company, employer branding can differ depending on who you're marketing to, right? McDonald's doesn't market Big Macs to the same people that they market their farm fresh salad stuff or whatever to, right? So it's the same with their team members and their cashiers and their burger flippers, and then people who work in a more corporate environment, right? They market to those people differently as well. The two have different feature sets, for lack of a better term, and they shouldn't be sold the same way. So companies are always reevaluating their brands, and we need to always be reevaluating our employer brands as well. That's why I think it was something like 21 companies or so have recently changed their logos. People are always focused on their public perception. With the right employer brand, your candidates will be lining up like a Southern gal at a Lilly Pulitzer for Target premiere. I don't know about that line. Your employer brand is your talent attraction strategy, and it should display exactly who you are to the world. So, we all know this, right? 93% of CEOs are aware of the inadequacies in their talent attraction strategy, but 60% state that they haven't addressed the issue at all. And I firmly believe that the reason that they haven't is they don't have an organized process. Without one, you're a leader with a whole lot of problems and no solutions. And that's what I'm here to teach you how to do. How to build this process so you and other members of your team, wow, this stage is gonna kill me. You and other members of your team can start building a process and a structure that will flow throughout your entire company. So, you can't build a new employer brand strategy in just one day or even two or by going to conferences like this fantastic one. But you can build at least the structure of your audit in just one day, and I'm going to teach you how. All right, so before you begin, the first thing you need to remember is employer branding just doesn't happen, right? You can't suddenly draw a cute picture of your mascot, post a job on Twitter, take out a Pandora ad. Good companies drive their efforts, again, consistently, every day, all the time. And I want to give you a quick example of that. So, Domino's, they had to revamp their entire brand marketing strategy and even their food, okay? So back in 2009, they were number one for delivery, but their pizza was actually last place for taste. And so they thought about all the different things that they could do, and they started with some really smart things. They added a new line of sandwiches, they increased different taste tests and market testing and all kinds of stuff. They added specialty pizzas. It was really a dedicated effort to changing the perception. But what they finally did, and that what genuinely worked, was they acknowledged that their pizza tasted bad in their ads. And they said, here's our new pizza, our old pizza tasted bad, we're sorry, come back to Domino's. Now, I'm not saying you need to do that all the time, but adopting that kind of attitude to fix what's broken so that you can move forward is crucial to starting this process. If people think your product sucks, they're not gonna buy new ones. And if people think it sucks to work at your company, they're not gonna want to come work there, no matter how fancy your career site is, and no matter how many paid ads you put behind it. So you can do the same thing, if it's necessary, with your employer brand once you complete this audit process. All right, so step one. Setting your employer brand audit up for success. All right, if you haven't met Google Drive yet, introduce yourself right now. I understand that there might be a little bit of, in some companies, there's some pushback to using sort of Microsoft 360 or Google Drive or something like that, but but I really recommend that you create a folder specifically for your audit to house all your findings. And I really think it should be text-based, because you're gonna assemble a dream team of people to help you, and you're gonna wanna see where those things are filled out. So, create a spreadsheet, or you can download one at Red Branch Media. We have lots and lots of templates for lots and lots of things. And it needs to cover each of these areas. Your online presence, your social media presence, and there are little, you know, subcategories for all these, and we'll go through those in a second. Your recruitment and hiring process, of course, candidate experience, your rewards and recognition. Some people do rewards and recognition and compensation in two separate things. It just depends on the size of your company and how important that is to your culture. And then your current and exited employees. So keep in mind, you're going to be measuring your company against your three biggest competitors. Determine three competitors in your market and at least one competitor to serve as kind of your inspiration. They don't necessarily have to be in the same industry that you're in, but they do have to be like targeting the same target markets and prospects, in this case, candidates, that you're targeting. And an example of that is we had a food processing company that we were working with that wanted to hire the same type of people, management engineers or something like that, as like a Google or an Amazon. So obviously, you know, Tyson Foods is hard to compete with Facebook, but they need the same general skills. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at your competitors. And write those down, right? Get all of their links so that you can send your dream team off. This isn't in the slide deck, but when I keep talking about the dream team, I think there's a few types of people that you should look for within your company to help you. I don't think they have to be in recruiting or HR or talent acquisition or anything. I think they have to be people who are passionate about the type of work that you're doing, the industry that you're in, or just people who really like starting new projects. And I have like little names for them. One is the crazy organized person, right? You're gonna need somebody who loves keeping files and folders and stuff like that. That's not me in my company or any company. The next one you need is kind of a data nut, somebody who loves to go on research hunts and find things. Say, you know, tell me about this GDPR stuff, go. And then they come back with like little bullet points and then you understand. You need a boss, right? You need somebody who's gonna be the one that says, hey, you didn't do this, and confronts the people that aren't helping. And you finally need a deadline junkie. Not finally, you need a deadline junkie, but the most important person you need is somebody who remembers that branding is fun. So the coolest thing, and I've been saying it for 1,000 years, Rayanne has been too, is that recruitment and marketing and talent acquisition and talent attraction are all about attraction, and that's fun, right? That's fun getting people to do the thing you want them to do and getting them excited about being near you or near your company. So you need somebody who fundamentally gets that as part of this team. So back to present. Opportunities for almost every employer on their career site, no matter who you are, even if you just got it redone. You need to emphasize the importance of what your company does. And I know that seems like the most basic statement that I could get up here and say, but you'd be surprised how many people don't do it, right? They do it in these vague, you know, flowery terms, but they don't really say what drives the meaning of the heart. And I'll give you an example. So I work in Omaha, Nebraska. My firm works exclusively in HR recruiting tech services, and that's, you know, in marketing. And that's not interesting or fun to like any entry-level person, except for like us nerds in this room that think it's interesting. So I have to find a way to say, how about instead of marketing leather pants, you come and market this HRIS? So what I tell them is, you know, unless you have a trust fund or somebody you know has a trust fund, you and everyone you know work. We spend most of our lives working. And the companies that we help, my clients, we help make that happen. We help facilitate work. And that's the meaning that I have to give them in order for them to want to work for Red Branch Media instead of, you know, the firm that does the marketing for our zoo. So find out what that is. Find out how you make the world different and infuse your messaging with that meaning. All right, second, talk about company culture. Candidates want to know what it's really like to work for you. Abby Cheeseman, she had a great tip, and I don't have the exact, so I'm gonna misquote her, I'm sure. But she was just like, you know, you can make these little 30-second videos, these job clips about what it's like to work in, you know, the accounting department, or what Tammy, your new boss, would be like, or whatever. You take an iPhone, she's got this little kits, and you have templates and everything that will help. We've never been more able to create a window into our companies than we are right now. Now, if you're one of those people who works in like, and somebody come up to me after a Recruit DC thing and they're like, my prospects work underneath the ground and they have to put their phone in a box before they come in. And I'm like, lady, I can't help you. Like, this is about employer branding. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's like, what would you suggest? I was like, I would suggest recruiting different people. Anyway. So, but if that's your company culture, you need to be honest about that, right? Like, if you're trying to hire gophers to go under the ground and they have no contact with the outside world, you're going to have to do some pretty serious stuff. But anyway, Taco Tuesdays, what their boss is going to be like, what happens when their resume comes through the door, all of those things are interesting. And the more you post them, the more people will get a sense of what it's like to be there, right? If you follow Red Branch on Instagram, you'll see that a lot of times we're sitting around on couches typing away at computers. That way, when you come to our office expecting this raucous ad agency, you're not surprised to see that it's actually just a bunch of nerds typing on computers. But that's good, because then I don't get people who think they're walking into Mad Men when they're really walking into the library. And then appease them with benefits. Make sure that they understand your benefits. I did a talk a couple of months ago about, like, it was like 50 benefits that most people don't even know that they have, and or could offer, or would cost them little to nothing. And there was a whole section of you know, hey, we are LGBTQ friendly. Like, a lot of companies don't say that, mine included. So I just finished writing an article about building your LGBTQ policy and how you could be diverse. And then I was interviewing this kid, and I offered him a job, and I said, do you have any questions? And he goes, well, yeah, what is your policy on LGBTQ friendliness? And I was like, great, we love it. He's like, oh, I just couldn't find any information about that on your website. That's important to him, right? That's his whole gender identity, sexual identity. And he didn't know if he would be welcome there. And that was because I had overlooked including that simple thing. Anyway, so not that that's a benefit, but it's something that people don't even know candidates are looking for, and sometimes they overlook it. So that was just one of the things that I wanted to mention. Okay. Now that you've sort of outlined the audit, I gave you those categories earlier, it's time to get to work. So how many people have conducted a SWOT analysis before? Or was the last time you dealt with it in college? So it's really simple, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So you need to assess these for you, and you need to assess these for your competitors that we discussed, and your inspiration. Use a separate document for quick reference later on. So you're gonna find your company successes and pain points, and you're gonna figure out the opportunities and threats from your main competitors. The absolute most important part of this, though, that I need you to hear, is the opportunities and the strengths. So identify your weaknesses, but I don't dwell on them, because most of you probably aren't the boss of your whole company and can't make sweeping changes about things that are out of your control. So again, identify them, but don't dwell on them. All right, throughout the entire auditing process, make sure to focus on these key points, all right? User experience. I'm gonna ask anyway. I'm hoping everybody raises their hand. How many of you have gone through your own apply process? Okay. How many of you have had a friend or family member apply to see if it gets through your ATS to you? That's good. I think it's so important to do that because, as I'm sure several people have pointed out, as people point out at all of these conferences, we really need to understand the pain that they're dealing with. My oldest two sons are, you know, in the workforce now, and they're applying for jobs and all this other stuff. And, you know, I just watch them, you know, trying to tap it out on their phones, and they can't, right? They're like, this is ridiculous. They have to make the little boxes bigger. And then they're like, you know what? I don't want to work for this company. I'll work for this company over here. Or they think they're going to come back to it later, and they don't. So having a mobile-optimized company website is now required by Google. In fact, it's not just required, they rank your mobile sites, all sites, but career sites is what we're talking about, even higher than they rank desktop traffic. So unless you want to lose any rankings that you so difficultly built up, you should make sure that mobile is top-notch. We design now from the mobile menu up rather than the other way around. All right, why would you want to miss out on 65% of people? In fact, I think that stat's outdated. I'm sure it's higher now. Looking for jobs on their mobile device. You don't. Focus on the ease of access candidates have to career information. So we usually, a lot of good, smart EB folks, they'll go through their apply process, but because you work there, there's a lot of missing information that you won't catch. It's like, I love Paris in the springtime, that sentence, you never see the extra the. If you already work there and you already know what the benefits are, or you already know that you're LGBTQ friendly, or you already know that you have a veterans hiring program, you might not spell that out the way you would for somebody who's never been to your career site before. So make sure to keep that in mind as you're going through. Get in the mind of the candidates by building out a list of questions that they might have. What's a typical work day like? What's the dress code? Are people encouraged to, you know, bring their own lunch, or do we all go out on Wednesdays? Things like that are important to potential folks coming in. Where this matters most, this particular piece, the user experience, and again, you want people to be jotting this down as they're going through this. You want them to be typing into that document that we set up. Is the company website, the company career site, your job advertisements and descriptions, and the application process. So you need to make sure that those questions are answered and that ease of use exists through in all of those places. All right, if you want to change the way people look at your employer brand, you're gonna have to have like a real heart-to-heart with yourself. Not one where you put like pros and cons on a board and say, oh, well, the pros outnumber the cons, so people should want to work here. I mean, one where you acknowledge those gut feelings and the anecdotal evidence that you hear from your coworkers that tells you where you know you're lacking. And start thinking about the rough solutions to that. Yeah, you might not have the power to change it today, but if you say, you know, this sucks about working for us, I think this would make it better, like at least when somebody comes asking, you'll have a plan, right? If you want to turn your brand around, it's going to require more than offering just a new feature. We use this method at the beginning of every single EV project. The first one we ever did, we only had 4 people. Now we have 22, but what's great is each person is tasked with a different part of the audit, right? So you do all the social media for me and our 3 competitors, and you go over there and look at the job descriptions for me and our 3 competitors. That way you get a really well-rounded thing, and nobody's tasked with so much work that it becomes insurmountable. And the other benefit of having people that aren't in HR or talent acquisition helping you on this sort of team project that you're gonna build is they come at it with fresh eyes, right? So again, we know where our job descriptions are housed. We can see that, you know, junior associate number 2 is clearly a marketing position, but not everybody might know that, right? All right. With 3 generations in today's workforce, you need messaging that's gonna resonate with your intended audience. You've heard people talk about targeting specific folks. You heard Jennifer talk about how, you know, certain social networks and messaging were working great in some parts of the world and not so great in other parts of the world. I think this mic might also be on. So Johnson & Johnson, for example, they reworked their recruitment messaging to be highly specific to different generations, and they saw their talent pool improve by 54%, and they saw their new hire turnover drop by 23%. So what that tells me, if I'm looking at those numbers, is that not only were they able to have this bigger pool of people because they were applying specific messaging to each one of those groups, they were also setting the stage so much better that when those people came in, they weren't like, what the, this isn't what I signed up for, and not leaving. That's what I would assume. So generations too, true, but you can also target college grads, working moms and dads, military veterans, senior executives. Just make sure your career site, recruitment advertisements, and job ads all offer tailored messaging to each segment. And you can do that, I can't remember, I'm sorry, who mentioned it, by creating an empathy map, we call them candidate personas, by getting inside their heads and figuring, okay, the typical person in this position is 26, about to get kicked off their parents' insurance, right? They're probably thinking in Nebraska, they're probably thinking about starting a family. What do I need to do to attract this person? Does anybody here know Bridget Webb? I haven't seen her at one of these things in a while, but she's a really, really smart woman, and she's an employer brand enthusiast. This is a quote from her. It says, "Does your messaging sound like HR or marketing? It shouldn't. It should sound like your employee's voice, their story, why they love or hate working for you." The same goes for those horrible, like, stock images or fake models laughing or thinking deeply around a conference room table. Lose that crap and get real. Better yet, show your employees love and watch them amplify the message. I love what Jennifer said, like, now we have so many stories coming in, we're encouraging them just to share, and then we amplify it. It's a fantastic place to be. But obviously, like we talked about, you don't get there overnight. So generic recruitment messaging yields generic results, right? So you're not gonna get the kind of results that you're hearing about today and talking about and hoping for by phoning it in, essentially. There's a lot of copy and paste that happens in job ads and job boards and job posts and, you know, oh, you know, we need to hire a new one of these. Let's just get that old job description out of the trash. Your company evolves, your company changes. Your recruitment messaging better reflect that. All right, so one of the ways that you can kind of get some ideas, this says sign up for a free trial on SEMrush, but we have since gone way beyond that. But for free, you can just sign up for a trial and you can analyze your competitors' recruitment messaging. You can see their keywords, you can figure out what traffic they're getting, where that traffic is going in some cases, what they're ranking for, and that sort of thing. So I always find this incredibly valuable, and this, again, this is something we put right in that audit to say, hey, they're saying this, and that's getting a lot of results, and we're calling it this over here. Should we maybe reconsider how we've named this position? Should we maybe reconsider why our benefits page gets, you know, 22% less traffic than theirs does, for example? All right. Where this matters most is your company career site, company career social media accounts, recruiting channels, recruitment advertising, job ads and descriptions, job boards, and social recruiting. And all of these slides are available, as well as the template that I mentioned earlier, so you can just anchor text to each one of these sections and fill it in really, really easily. All right, be on the lookout for ROI red flags to help better direct your spend. Most of you know this already, but it's always good to discuss it. If it's college recruiting season, pull the numbers from last year's career fairs. Was it actually effective for you? Or could you be directing that spend elsewhere on retargeting, maybe people who visited your website? What channels, like digital ads, social media, employee referrals, job boards, are bringing in the most applicants? 60% of recruiters in 2014, this is a little while ago, reported their highest quality candidates came from employee referrals. Who here would agree with that? Wow, not a lot. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with it either. I think it has to do with industry, probably. But still, if you have 10 employees, that's 10 more people with, you know, with a apply here signature in the bottom, or that are willing to put a video out on Facebook for you, that's 10xing your effort, right? And if you have 100, so on and so forth. So even if referrals aren't your highest source of hires, it still makes a lot of sense to have them on the bandwagon. How much traffic are your recruitment advertisements bringing to your career page? And are they converting into candidates and then hires, right? Traffic is great, but we call it and feel that it is often a vanity metric, right? Brand is great, all this stuff we're talking about is great, but if you don't get hires from it, it's kind of pointless. While it's difficult to compare that to your competitors in this piece of the audit, you can complete an in-depth overview on what's working and what isn't working for you guys. So don't be afraid in this section to reach out to your social friends for help. So post to your Facebook and ask your friends if they've ever been digitally targeted by one of your competitors, or just for a job at all. I remember it was a big aha moment in my head when I heard I think it was K-Force, and I feel like it was like 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years ago, that I heard a recruitment ad on Pandora. And I was like, holy crap, you can advertise on Pandora and Spotify the same as on Instagram, and people have, we have our own Spotify channel. Well, not channel, it's like ours. But like, we listen to that all day at the office. Can you imagine the kind of passive recruiting you could do if you had your ads on Spotify. Anyway, I thought it was fascinating. Sign up for an account and see how employers are reaching out to other candidates. If you're scrolling through Instagram and you see somebody like now hiring, I just got these really great extensions and I'm kind of obsessed with the CEO. And so I started following her on Instagram. And she's just like sitting there in a chair like, hey, we're hiring in Toronto and here. And I was just like, she's like, swipe up to see the positions. And I was like, dang, that girl is living her best life on Paris in a bed. Passive recruiting, get serious. But anyway, I thought it was fascinating. So don't ignore any of these channels just because you think that they're brand new. Wow, I'm going way slow. Okay, all right. Keep in mind your employer brand is about more than a good job posting or career site. A lot of your hires are gonna come from referrals, and we can talk a little bit about this, but I think I have to go a little faster here. All right, there's about 15 referrals for every new hire. That's about 300 applicants per job posting. About 70% of organizations have some sort of employee referral program. You're likely to get 26% of all your hires through referrals, making the number one source of hires. And referral programs overall have the best ROI of all recruitment sources. These stats tell us something important. We're often so focused on how we're gonna get the random applicants, we forget how important it is to make employees our best source of hire. Incentivizing referral programs, like giving some cash to the referrer. I know Shannon Pritchett has said that she just used to keep candy on her desk and say, bring me a referral and I'll give you a piece of candy. Small rewards can yield big results. All right, we need to get to the analysis section. Okay, so now you've compiled all this information, we need to figure out how to analyze it. So strengths, what works about the company's employer brand? What are the unique aspects bringing people to work for them? And what are some things only they can claim? When you find this out about the other company, you need to apply it to yourself as well, right? What can only you claim, right? What's bringing people to work for you? A lot of people recommend surveying employees. This particular presentation is about doing this kind of fast, quick and dirty. And I think anecdotal evidence is fine for that. Right, talk to some of your people on your dream team or talk to the people around you and say, why did you come work here? What keeps you here? What makes you happy? SWOT is about fixing problems and highlighting where we can do better, but it's also about making sure that when we start a new initiative, it's in line with those strengths and those opportunities. Sometimes we get so focused like, oh yeah, we should totally start a Snapchat and do this. Well, is that in line with the kind of people you're trying to hire? Is it in line with this audit that we've built? Right? So you need to make sure that this shiny new object, the new fun thing, is in line with what you've built here. All right, weaknesses. When we do audits for companies, we have the benefit of being on the outside looking in. But when the company itself is implementing its own SWOT, this is where it pays to be really honest. You have to look at what people say when they turn down offers. Ask people what makes them worry about applying in the first place and see where the biggest holes are. If you're not honest and come to a good conclusion about your own problems, you're probably not in the right industry. So what aren't you doing to get people to apply? What are some untapped sources of your company that you should be leveraging? Do you have an amazing internship program? Do people walk away from their job with you, you know, knowing so much more? Is there something that you can say that you're not saying? This is where you begin to look outside as well as inside. If you see another company doing something that's getting them a ton of attention, figure out how you could make a similar strategy work for you. I am a huge proponent of finding something that other people are doing and then just doing it better. And it's possible, right? It doesn't always take money. Sometimes it just takes ingenuity. This is also where you take a look at the parts of your company that people like and see if you can't leverage those people, right? What are you doing over there that's making your team so great? Or what's this new performance management strategy that you've implemented that's making, you know, your managers thrilled about review time? Figure out those things because those are opportunities for you in the talent acquisition space. All right, threats. What are other people doing that are costing you employees? And what can you do about it? Which of your initiatives are doing more harm than good? One of the things that I think this often uncovers is the fact that hiring managers are often, or can be, some of our biggest threats or weaknesses. Sometimes we get these people all the way through the process and we drag them kicking and screaming and we spend all this money And then we sit them down in front of a hiring manager who's maybe a poor interviewer, right? Or we sit them down in front of somebody who, like, is kind of racist. Or, you know, just, and it's important to pay attention to those sorts of things. You know, we don't do all this work just to get them to say no to the job. So really be as honest as you can. And if you uncover a black hole hiring manager, or you uncover a black hole manager who just everybody that works for them quits, you probably need to start talking to their manager about that. All right, so another thing that you need to put in here, how much money can you afford to spend? How much can you afford to do this quarter? What can you do with that budget? And be honest, or you're not gonna get much out of it. Don't pretend like 500 will do the job if you need 5 grand, or 5 grand will do the job when you need 50 grand. Actionable items will stem from analyzing all the opportunities and threats section of your SWOT analysis. So at the bottom, start a bulleted list where you can brainstorm and suggest tasks. Jot down every quirky idea that comes to mind, and then if you think of it, put a member of the dream team next to it to say, this is the right person for that, or this is the right person to find somebody for that. All right. If you go back through those ideas later, the reason I say jot them all down is that you might come up with a more reasonable idea that will actually work just by keeping that crazy thought in mind. So I'm not going to do that part. Here's the part where you either want to get the slides or you're going to want to take pictures or something. Your employer brand audit should include each of these categories and their subcategories. Online presence, company website, the company career site, online reviews, like Glassdoor, Very God Boss, things like that, other employer review sites. Your social media presence, company social media, company career social media, and if you don't have company career social media accounts, you should ask yourself why. If there's a really good reason, and I have had yet to hear one, then that's a little bit of a red flag, and you should include that in your audit. Recruitment and hiring process. Recruiting channels, digital, social, traditional. Recruitment advertising, any career fairs, virtual or IRL. Job ads and descriptions. Job post distribution, like who's taking your job posts and where are they putting them? I once had a client find their job posting on one of those weird sites where it's like 24 celebrities who've had nose jobs. You know, and they were like, yeah, this isn't where we want to be. And it was just a retargeting vendor that they had chosen without really looking at where they were putting stuff. Job boards, of course, and social recruiting efforts. From the recruiters themselves, sorry. Candidate experience. So, the application process, the applicant screening process. What do you do to screen them? Are the assessments exhausting? Do you make them play stupid little games, and then they have to play another stupid little game, and then they have to fill in something else? The interviewing process, again, we've discussed how sometimes people can be our weakest link here. So make sure that you understand how did they get here, and then how did they get from here to here, and then how did they get from here to here. And if you're seeing any holes in there, you need to make sure that you're documenting them. That's why, again, I truly urge you to have other people who don't know your company as well as you do to go through that process. Selection and notification process, onboarding process, and your training process, which is, again, I believe, part of the talent acquisition cycle, not talent management, although they overlap, so make sure that you're focusing on that as well, right? Do you get new hires and just dump them in the deep end and expect things to work? That makes all of your work for nothing. And then your current and exited employees. So what is your performance management process? What do your current employees have to say about working there? All of this stuff needs to go in the audit document. And then if you can, if you have exited employees that left on a good note, or if you know some personally, or if there are surveys, if your company does exit surveys, you need to put some of that information in there. And after a while, when you've done this audit process a few times, you'll know sort of what data to pull in to help make your case for an employer branding strategy. That is a lot of stuff. All right, so, once you've completed our audit, you can look to the future to see how your company measures up. So sometimes it does, but more often, when we do this process, we have to come up with a strategy, right? So the audit informs the strategy, and then the strategy helps you build an implementation plan. And I mean an implementation plan. We tweet 5 times a day on this, 3 messages about this, and 2 messages about that. We send out an email every other week, whatever it is, and make sure that each of those people know that. Having this crucial piece, this piece that we've discussed today in place before you start anything is so highly recommended. It will help you build a strategy to fill in where your company is lacking, and it'll make the holes so much more apparent. Whether it's outdated technology, a funky hiring process, a never been updated job description, whatever it is, this will help you find it. Does anybody have questions? That is a lot of information, I know. Thank you.